Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church on this, the second Sunday of Christmas. Merry Christmas. I have just a couple of announcements. The first, it didn't make it into the bulletin, but this Wednesday at 6 o'clock, we have our finance meeting. And there are two additions to the prayer list that did not make it into the bulletin. The first is Nancy Garner, the mother of Steve Garner, has had a stroke, and they're still determining how extensive the effects of that are going to be. So they've asked for prayer for Nancy Garner. And Jan Watkins' sister-in-law, Jim's sister, Zelma Miller, has been transferred to Baptist Hospital in Winston-Salem with some heart challenges, and so they've asked for prayer for Zelma. So please add those to the prayer list, Zelma Miller and Nancy Garner. We have a couple of birthdays this week, Jan Watkins, Marty Varner, Gary Hedrick, and Bobby Fritz. And we do not have any anniversaries. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Are there any announcements that I'm forgetting? Next Saturday at 9:30, some folks are going to be taking the tree down. So if anyone wants to help with that, next Saturday at 9:30. All right, let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you. please stand? Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who sends the word with angels, who is made flesh among all peoples, and who breathes peace on all the earth. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Holy God, we confess our sin before you. We replace compassion with competition. We seek what is mighty while ignoring the meek. We are quick to anger but slow to forgive. We have not put on love in harmony with you. Wrap us in the grace of your powerful word. Swaddle our hearts with your peace, that all we do, in word or deed, may reflect your love born among us. Amen. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. God has come among us in the child born of Mary, Christ the Lord. In Christ, your sins are forgiven and you are clothed with peace. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray.
Shine into our hearts the light of your wisdom, O God, and open our minds to the knowledge of your word, that in all things we may think and act according to your good will, and may live continually in the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from 1 Samuel. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. His mother used to make this for him, a little robe, and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Ephrathah and his wife and say, "May the Lord repay you with children by this woman for the gift that she has made to the Lord." And then they would return to their home. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with all the people. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Psalm is 148. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord, all you angels. Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Praise the Lord, heaven of heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, who made them stand fast forever and ever. Praise the Lord from the earth. Fire and hail, snow and fog. Mountains and all hills. Wild beasts and all cattle. Sovereigns of the earth and all peoples. Young men and maidens,
old and young together,
let them praise the name of the Lord. The Lord has raised up strength from the people and praise for all faithful servants. The second reading is from the third chapter of Colossians. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let all the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, every year, Jesus and his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him there, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning. I was hoping you all would be here today, because instead of doing a children's sermon and a regular sermon, I wanted to do an extended children's sermon with you all. But as it was getting closer to 10:30, I thought, what am I going to do if they're not here? So thank you for being here today. Merry Christmas. Is it surprising that I'm still wishing you a Merry Christmas on January 2nd? What do you think about it? Kind of cray-cray? It is different. You know, in the church, there are a lot of things that we do differently than the world around us. And one of those things is that we have a different calendar. So in the church, our new year starts on the first Sunday of Advent, which is usually at the end of November. And we have Advent. When we're going through Advent, the world around us is already in Christmas mode. They're already playing Christmas songs and decorating for Christmas. But we're preparing for Christmas. And for us in the church, Christmas actually starts on Christmas Day. That's the first day of Christmas. And Christmas lasts for 12 days, going all the way to January 6th, which is the Feast of Epiphany, where we celebrate that God revealed Jesus to the Magi, or the wise men. So for us, Christmas is 12 days long, and today is the ninth day of Christmas. And I kept thinking, are there 9 things that I could give you? 9 pieces of candy, 9... I couldn't think. I wasn't creative enough to think about it. But today is the ninth day of Christmas. And so if you look around, there are still reminders that it's Christmas. We've got the white paraments, and I'm wearing my white stole. White is the color that we have for Christmas. We still have the Christ candle lit. And we have the Advent candles still lit as well, as a reminder that Jesus is the fulfillment of all that we waited for and hoped for in Advent. And so they are all lit, and the Christ candle is lit in the middle. Jesus has come among us. So even though it's January 2nd, we are still celebrating the fact that God left heaven and was born a human in Jesus. One of the names that Jesus has is Emmanuel. Do you remember what Emmanuel means? Do you remember, Calvin? That's a really good guess. It means that God is with us. And what do you think it means that Jesus' very name means God with us? I think part of it means that when Jesus became a human, God is with us in our humanness. And because Jesus became a human, he knows what it means to be a human. He knows what it means to have struggles and challenges. And so often our gospel lessons, like what we know about Jesus, is about Jesus as an adult, as a grown-up. But today's lesson is really neat because it's about Jesus as a child. Have you ever thought much about Jesus being a child? At Christmas, we think about him being a baby, but it's kind of fun to think about him as a child. And I've asked a few people this week, you know, what do you think about Jesus being a child? And they say, you know, I haven't really thought too much about it, or why is this the only glimpse of Jesus as a child that we have in Scripture? And I think the answer to that is, if we look at the reason why Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote their Gospels, they were trying to show people how Jesus was the Messiah. And most of the evidence for that in Jesus' life was in the 3 years of his earthly ministry, from the time he was 30 to 33. And so I think the fact that we don't have much of Jesus' childhood in Scripture might mean that Jesus had just kind of a pretty ordinary childhood. One of the things that, as Christians, we believe about Jesus is that he was fully and completely human, and he was fully and completely God. And we can't explain that well, and we can never fully understand it, no matter how we try. But oftentimes, we focus on Jesus being fully God, which is true, but I think today's gospel lesson gives us a chance to think about Jesus being fully human. So I wondered if you could help me think through what Jesus might have been like as a boy. If you can let your imaginations wander, what are some common things for you that you think Jesus might have experienced as well? I think he was adventurous. I think he was very adventurous. I think he had a lot of curiosity about the world. I think he was very adventurous. So Calvin says that he thinks Jesus was the kind of person that would donate to charity, that he was very generous. I absolutely think that Jesus was very generous. I think that if he, even as a kid, if he saw that somebody needed something, I think Jesus would absolutely share. Mm-hmm. Do you think Jesus liked to play with his friends? I think so. I think that he and his friends and his siblings and his cousins, I bet they had a really good time playing together. A Jesus name dictionary? There are some of those. I can show you some of those sometime. Do you think that Jesus ever fell down and injured himself? Yeah. Probably so. Do you think that Jesus' parents may have asked him to do something and he may not have wanted to do it, but he did it anyway because he was trying to honor them? I think so. Do you think Jesus had a favorite food?
Probably
so. Do you think there were foods he didn't like? Yes. Do you think that that Jesus ever experienced people being unkind to him? I think it's very possible that people would have been unkind to him, and maybe he would have gotten bullied, because part of being a kid is that sometimes people aren't kind to us and that we get bullied or we get made fun of. Do you think Jesus liked music? I bet he did. Do you think he liked to play games? He may not have had video games, but I bet Jesus and his friends made up a lot of games and played a lot of games. Do you think that Jesus ever prayed? Little boy Jesus?
Yeah.
Do you think that Jesus, what kind of brother do you think he was to his siblings? You think he would have been a good brother? You think Jesus would have been very wise? So Calvin says he thinks that Jesus, even as a little boy, had a lot of wisdom. And that's exactly what the scripture lesson today tells us, that at 12 years old, when his family went to this festival for the Passover in Jerusalem, that he was sitting there with the teachers and that he was asking them questions and they were asking him questions. So although this passage leaves us with some questions, you know, we don't exactly know what Jesus would have been like as a boy, and it may leave us wanting to know more and to have more stories. And believe me, someday when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jesus more about his childhood. But one of the things that this passage does tell us is that Jesus came from a really faithful family, which is probably partly why God chose Mary and Joseph to be his earthly parents. He knew that they would raise him to be a really faithful Jewish boy. But one of the things that faithful Jews did every year, three times a year, they traveled from wherever they lived to Jerusalem. And one of those times was for the festival of Passover. And so Jesus and his family did this, and they didn't travel then like we travel now. They had to walk, or maybe some of them had animals to ride on, but mostly they had to walk. And from the way that our passage describes it, I kind of imagine that maybe the men traveled separately in a group, and then the women, and then maybe all the kids were kind of running around. And so they traveled as a really big group, as families, and probably a lot of people from Jesus' hometown of Nazareth, they all went together. But every year, Jesus' family went to the festival of Passover. And at the time when Jesus was a boy, when you were 12 years old, that's when a boy became a man. You were considered at 12 years old to be an adult. Now, I know you just turned 10. How old are you? You're going to turn 11. So in just a couple of years, if you were alive at the time of Jesus, you would be considered adults. In fact, it's very likely that when Mary was 14, she had Jesus. So she would have been very, very young in our eyes. She's the OG teen mom. Yes, yes. I'm going to remember that. So at 12 years old, which is what the passage tells us Jesus was, at 12 years old, he was transitioning from becoming a boy to a man. And learning about his faith would have been a really important part of his childhood. Both of his parents, his mom and his dad, would have taught him so much about the Torah, which are the five books of the Bible that the Jews of his time, that was their scripture, that he would have known that very, very well. And so when he's 12 years old, he stays behind after the festival, and he's sitting with priests and teachers in the temple, asking them questions and giving them answers. And one of the things that doesn't pop off the page immediately, but with a little bit of context, is kind of neat. One of the ways that folks learned about the Jewish law and Jewish teachings was that they would sit with rabbis or teachers, and they would teach them, the rabbis or teachers would teach the people, and then the teachers or rabbis would ask questions and see if they understood what they were teaching them. Does it sound like a mean name? Rabbi means teacher. And it's a rabbi is like the equivalent of a pastor. So if you were to go to a Jewish synagogue, which is like a Jewish worshiping community, instead of having a pastor, they would have a rabbi. Rabbis are teachers. But it is kind of an interesting word, isn't it? So the way they taught was they would teach, and then they would ask questions to see if the students understood. And they would ask the question in several different ways to make sure that they really understood it in all the different ways that they needed to think about it. Well, the passage tells us that Jesus not only was answering some of their questions, but that he was asking questions of them. So even at 12 years old, Jesus had such a deep and wise understanding of the Torah, of the law, that even at 12, he was teaching and talking and having conversations with these adults who knew very well. They were the teachers and the priests of that time. Oh, politics very much existed at that time. Absolutely. Yes. So Jesus was asking questions and answering their questions, and I think it's just a really, really neat glimpse of Jesus as a boy that as he's becoming an adult, he's already wise beyond his years, and he already has a really deep understanding of the law. And so a couple things I want to point out are, I think in this passage, Jesus is teaching us that we don't just come to church, we don't just read our Bibles to gain knowledge. We read our Bibles, we come to church, we're in relationship with other Christians because the whole point is deepening our faith and growing in our faith and having a deeper relationship with God. So one of the things that I've really wanted our confirmands to understand going through confirmation, they're not just going through confirmation to check off a box and say, yep, I went to confirmation, I did it, I'm done. No, the point of confirmation is to learn all of this so that we can live it and so that it helps us grow deeper in relationship with God. There are a lot of things that we do because we love to learn and we just want to have knowledge in our mind, but the things about our faith are different. We grow and we learn so that we can always be growing in our relationship with God, which is something that begins at the baptismal font. God adopts us as God's children in baptism. And then our whole life long, we are called to be growing deeper and deeper in our relationship with God. And one of the ways that we do that is through studying our Bible so that we can learn more about who God is and the things that God has done and the things that God continues to do in the world. If you think about it, some of your closest friends, what makes them close friends to you? Is it that you spend time with them? They understand you? It's that you know a lot about each other, you have shared experiences, you have inside jokes. Well, a lot of those things that make it a close relationship, those are some of the same things that we need for a close relationship with God. We spend time with God, which we can do in prayer, which we can do just by sitting in God's presence, which we can do by reading God's word, to know more about God, which happens also through prayer and also through spending time in God's word. And those are things that Jesus is modeling for us in this gospel passage today, that he has spent time in God's word and he has spent time with God. He has already at 12 years old has a really deep relationship with God to the point that he has a really deep understanding of the law, of the Bible, and of who God is. So the reasons that we grow in our faith and the reasons why we learn more about God isn't just to know more. It's so that we can have a deeper relationship with God. And I think also one of the other things that this passage helps us understand is that part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, part of what it means to be a child of God, is that we are always learning and growing. That you don't somehow get to an age where, oh, I know everything I need to know about God. I'm done. I'm going to coast from here on out. We're always learning and growing and always deepening in our relationship with God. And I'll give you an example of that. So there's a passage in the Bible that says when we are baptized, we are clothed with Christ. That verb there, clothed with Christ, is the same verb for putting on clothes, like you'd put on a jacket or you'd put on a shirt. So when you were baptized as little bitty babies, God put Jesus on you. Still, even if you were baptized when you were 7, God put Jesus on you. But when you're baptized and God puts Jesus on you like a piece of clothing, it's really, really big. So imagine if when you were a little bitty baby and you put on your mom or dad's shirt, it'd be too big, right? But as you get older and as you grow, you grow more and more into Jesus so that it fits a little bit better, and it fits a little bit better every day and every week and every month and every year. And that's kind of an image for our faith journey, that our whole life long, we are called to be growing more and more into Jesus. And today, even in the epistle lesson, it talks about clothing ourselves with love and humility and meekness and peace and compassion. All of those things are very Christ-like characteristics. So even as we are clothed with Christ, that includes love and humility and meekness. But it doesn't get to a point in your life where you're 18 and, yep, the clothing of Christ, it fits fine. I don't need to grow anymore. It fits fine. Nope. You don't get to be 38 and it fits fine, or 60 or even 80 and it fits fine. Even no matter what age you are, no matter how old you are, we are all still called to grow more and more into the likeness of Jesus. I mean, there are folks in Bible study, Minnie comes to Bible study, and Jean, and they're a little bit older, and they're still coming to learn more about God and to grow deeper in their relationship with God. They don't think they've arrived and have it all together and have all the knowledge they need. They're still learning and growing. So I think that's one of the other things that this passage teaches us. So Jesus is God with us. Jesus knows what it is to be a human, and not just an adult human and not just a baby. Jesus knows what it is to be a toddler and learn how to walk, and you lose your balance and you fall over. And Jesus knows probably what it is to be sick and have the flu and just want your mom to take good care of you. And Jesus knows what it is maybe to be picked on and to be bullied. But he also knows what it is to have a desire to have a deep relationship with God, and he knows what it is to study scripture and to spend time with God in prayer. And so if that's something that's hard for us, we can ask Jesus to help us with that. Jesus teaches us that no matter what age we are, that we're called to grow in our faith, and we're called to always live out our faith. So just like Jesus asked questions and gave answers, you've answered some of my questions. Do you have any questions about Jesus being a boy, about Jesus being a human, about Jesus being in the temple, or anything I've said? What's your question? That's a really good question. So Calvin says, if Jesus had the power to create the world, but now the world has the coronavirus in it, doesn't Jesus have the power to make the coronavirus go away? That's a really good question. So yes, God did create the world, and Jesus was there, and everything was created by Jesus and through Jesus. And unfortunately, there are a lot of really bad things that happen in the world. Even at the time of Jesus, there were a lot of bad things. In the scripture that we're going to read next week about the wise men, what's your theory? You mean 2021? Are you talking about the insurrection?
Yeah.
Yes. I've been thinking a lot about that too. That last year on Epiphany, there was an insurrection at the Capitol. I've been thinking a lot about that too. So going back to your other question, so really bad things. So next week we're going to be reading the passage about the wise men coming to Jesus. And for the first thing they do, because they know that something really special is happening, and so they think it must be some kind of royalty, and so they go to King Herod and they ask, and there's a king coming, and Herod is terrified because he thinks, who's this other king who's gonna try to overthrow me, who's gonna try to take my throne? And so he asks the wise men, when did you first see the star? And it was probably a couple of years since they first saw it until it rested over Jesus, and they met the baby Jesus, who was probably a toddler when they did. But Herod was so scared and so anxious and so angry that he ordered for all the little boys 2 years old and younger to be killed, because he was so afraid of this king that the wise men were talking about. He was so afraid of this king overtaking him and his throne that he just wanted to kill all the babies, all the boys who were 2 years old and younger, so that it wouldn't be a threat and he wouldn't have to worry about it. So in Israel at that time, all boys 2 years old and younger had to be killed. And so there's actually a day we remember this. It was last weekend in the church. It's the Feast of the Holy Innocents. We remember all of those children who were killed because somebody in power was insecure and scared and did something terrible. So even in the time of Jesus, really terrible things happened. As it relates to the coronavirus, I think that there are a lot of things that God has done to help us get through it, and there are a lot of things that God has even provided through people to help get rid of it, like a vaccine. But then humans have the choice of getting the vaccine or not, and there are a lot of humans who have decided not to get it, and so the vaccine is still existing. So God does a lot of things through humans. That's one of the things God uses us all the time. And God has used scientists and doctors to help come up with a vaccine for the coronavirus, which could have gotten rid of it. But there are some humans that chose not to get it, and so the vaccine is still running wild in our world. So it's not because God didn't provide a way or make a way. It's because humans made a choice. These are a lot of things that I think about too, Calvin, where God makes a way for a lot of things. So the Holy Spirit, when we are baptized, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives in us. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us and inspires us. It gives us ideas. It helps us love others. Have you ever seen somebody in need and you've felt such compassion for them that you want to help them in some way? That's the Holy Spirit inspiring us and moving us to do something. And so the Holy Spirit is always at work, always, everywhere and always. But sometimes people listen to the Holy Spirit and sometimes people don't listen to the Holy Spirit. And you know what? There are times in my own life where I have felt the Spirit nudging me or the Spirit asking me to do something, and I haven't wanted to do it. And so I've been disobedient to the Holy Spirit as well. For example, when I first felt God calling me to become a pastor, I didn't want to become a pastor. And so I kept telling God, no, I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to be a pastor. The Holy Spirit kept nudging me and nudging me. But there are times in all of our lives where we all don't listen to the Holy Spirit. But it is really hard when God wants to work through humans and people resist that. Yeah. Do you have any questions? No? Well, I am so thankful for you, because you, each Sunday when I see you, and then when I see you throughout the week, you both inspire me. I see the light of Jesus in you. I see the way that you love and care about people. I see the ways that you love and care about me, and God is at work in you. And even this morning, your willingness to sit here and share this sermon with me and sort of act out this scene in scripture that we read is a gift to all of us. You know how I talked about in the church, we do things differently than in the world? In the world, people sort of see kids as an inconvenience, or maybe like when you become adults, that's when you're like at the best that you can be, that kids aren't always valued in our culture. But that's one of the ways that the church is different, that we believe no matter what age you are, almost 11, just turning 10, 2, 6 months old, we believe that you are full members of the church, that you are full members of the body in Christ. Children are not the future of the church. Children are the present of the church. And you are filled with the same Holy Spirit that adults are, and you are filled with the love of God, and you share that with us. And so we don't need to wait until you're grown-ups for you to be full members here. You are already full members of this body, and you are already bright, shining lights of Jesus, that you are sons and daughters of God along with us. And you teach us, and you challenge us, and you encourage us, and you inspire us. And I'm really thankful for both of you. Calvin says he thinks that when you turn 18, there's a cake, and in the filling, it tastes like taxes and responsibilities. Oh, I love your mind, and I love your hearts. Well, let's pray together. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for our church. Thank you for each other. Thank you that today's gospel lesson gives us a glimpse of Jesus as a boy. We give you thanks that Jesus knows exactly what it's like to be a human, to be a kid. We give you thanks that Jesus is always teaching us, even today as a boy. Help us to have the desire to continue to learn and grow in our faith now and always. And may each of us continue to grow like Jesus grew in wisdom and in favor with God and all people. Thank you for the gift of children. May we honor our children and recognize the blessing that they are to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming up. You have blessed us this morning.
Thank you. Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified by the Holy Spirit. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Joining our voices with the heavenly host and Christians throughout time and space, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. You come to us in gatherings of your church across the globe. Unite us with those who celebrate your birth, even when they are weighed down by grief, loss, poverty, hunger, or injustice. Merciful God, you come to us in the diverse splendor of the universe. Grant us the humility to trust our place in the network of creation, that we live in service to you and the natural world. Merciful God, you come to us through relationships of many kinds, families, friendships, communities, and nations. Guide us in these relationships that we recognize the Christ child in one another and show your love to those most vulnerable. Merciful God, you come to us through people whom the world forgets, poor shepherds, and an imprisoned Paul announced your good news. Send your spirit to all who are in prison, struggling with addiction, unwell, or in need of this, or in any need this day, especially Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Raven and Tim, Duty, John, the family of Robin Beck, Mike, Carolina, Neil, Caroline and Chad, and our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we name now aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Merciful God, you come to us in acts of justice and forgiveness. Open our hearts to forgive one another without permitting injustice. Supply us with the wisdom to be clothed with love, binding all things together in perfect harmony. Merciful God, you come to us through those who have died, yet live with you forever. Merciful God,
rejoicing in your word made flesh among us, we commend these prayers to you, confident of your grace and love made known to us through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with those around you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, your word made flesh brings harmony to the earth. As we offer ourselves in these, your gifts, prepare us to receive the grace and truth you offer at this table, and renew us in the song of your salvation. In Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. In the wonder and mystery of the Word made flesh, you have opened the eyes of faith to a new and radiant vision of your glory, that beholding the God made visible, we may be drawn to love the God whom we cannot see. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Beginning and the end, the giver of life. Blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your son Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming. Come, Lord Jesus. Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us in this meal. Make your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people and fill us with your light. Come, Holy Spirit. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, Power of the Most High, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In Christ's manger and at Christ's table, come and see what God makes known for you. Mm-hmm. Please stand. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, wondrous God, for Jesus, God with us in these gifts of bread and wine. As we have shared this feast of love, strengthen us to share your love with all the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And now the God of all hope, fill us with all joy and peace in believing, so that we all may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, through Christ Jesus, the Word made flesh. Amen.
Now let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace, rejoice in Christ our Savior. Thanks be to God.
I don't know whether...